Last week, Pastor James introduced the series that we were in, that we're currently in right now, and it's called Why Church? And he talked about that it's not a building, that it is people and a place that we can offer hope to the world and to each other. That was week one. This is week two, and we're going to look at another aspect of why church. When I say the word church, see, this is why I support. When I say the word church, something comes up into your mind, the thought of what it is. And it's really important because that kind of determines how you're going to approach God's calling to be the church. And so we want to look at, and that's why I like this series, we want to look at what is church? Why church? Why do we do what we do? What's this thing all about? So there's a theme verse that we're using for this entire series. You can follow along. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It says, let us consider, deeply think about, how to inspire each other to greater love and how to inspire each other to righteous deeds, not forgetting to gather as a community, as some have forgotten, but encouraging each other, especially as the day of his return approaches. So, why church? Write this down. First off, it's to connect authentically. That's a big reason of why church, that there would be a place where we can connect authentically. Authenticity is kind of a big deal when it comes to our faith and our walk with God, our relationship with God, relationship with others. It's something that's it's very necessary. The scripture says that even God, he seeks worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth, meaning that it's real. How many of you, anyone here, you really dig it when people are insincere with you? Yeah, no, you're not that weird. Are you attracted to phoniness? Is that something that you're looking for? Posers and pretenders, man, you can't wait to get in a relationship. No. We don't like that. We have a reaction when we sense that or we get that. And remember, we're made in his image. We're made in his image. God is seeking relationship in a place called the church also where there's authenticity, where there's connection at a deep level. The quality of a relationship really is measured by the depth of its connection. Where do we connect? Are we just connecting very surfacey or up top, or do we have a deep connection? That's what God wants with us, and that's really what he's designed us to have with other people. Look at this passage in Romans chapter 12. He says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So living authentically, really at its core, is about just being who I am no matter where I am. It's being me. So I have a lot of different facets. I wear a lot of different hats in life, just like you do. You have different roles. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a pastor. I've got different roles. But what I don't want to happen is that I'm a different person in those different roles, that there's like a church mark or a work mark, and then there's a home mark, and they're all different kind of people. That's actually where the word integrity comes in, that there's a lack of integrity if it's not knit together in one, that you are who you are, and that we want to be who God has called us to be, living authentically, the same person, no matter where I find myself. I don't morph into somebody else at the job or something else. The same morals I have, the same ethics I have, the way we treat people is not different in here than at a restaurant or in a shopping mall. Does that make sense? That we want to be the same person regardless of what role that we're in. So to connect authentically with God, with myself, and then with others. In order to connect authentically with others, though, which is really what we want, what the church is supposed to be, I first have to live authentically. So write this down. Authenticity means this. It means owning all that we really are. We've got to start right there. That we own everything about us, not our Facebook self, but our real self, who we really are. It means that I understand at a deep level that we are all jacked up. We just say that. Happy Mother's Day. That we all have issues. We all have stuff that we have to deal with. And we're all incredibly gifted and unique. And those two are not incompatible. We try to ignore one or the other or this, but those two are not incompatible. Look at the scriptures. It says, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, for everyone has sinned. Everybody say everyone. Everyone. Say, I am in everyone. Okay, so everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We're in agreement. No problem with that one. Okay? We also have this passage, and so many like it. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's, what? We are God's masterpiece. He has created us new in Christ Jesus, so, pardon me, so we can do the good things that he has planned for us long time ago. Each one of us, abundantly flawed and abundantly gifted. Each one of us. And so we want to embrace that. We know that that is all who, that's who every one of us is. And what we tend to do, though, as individuals, we camp out on kind of one side or the other of that. It's like there's some people who are like, okay, I get it. There are no perfect people, but I am pretty darn close. That's good for you if you feel that way. You're in denial, but good for you. And there's people who they cannot accept that part of them that is a masterpiece. They only identify with, I'm flawed. They can't see that they're wonderfully gifted. They're beautiful. They're a piece of work that God fashioned. They just see the ugliness or the failures or the things about them that they don't like. And neither view is healthy. We are all of it. That's why I really don't like the phrase that some I hear preached a lot is like, well, God loves you in spite of your sin. It's not really that. God loves you with it. He just loves you. See, he doesn't love the sin, but it's not like, well, in spite of what you did, that's not it. He understands us. He gets us. He loves us, and he's fashioned us, each one of us, very uniquely. And we want to see that about ourselves. So look, I love this author, George MacDonald. He said it this way. I would rather be what God chose me or chose to make me than the most glorious creature that I could ever think of. For to have been thought about, born in God's thought, and then made by God is the dearest, grandest, most precious thing in all thinking. And I can meditate on that he knew me as he fashioned me. He knows me today. There's another passage I want to look at in Romans, and Paul says it this way. He says, in this way, we're like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole. The church, from the body as the whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. This is why this church thing is so important. Anyways, it goes on. It's a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be. So that's the part where it's owning all that we are. Without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something that we are. Let's be what we were made to be. That's the owning of all that we really are. It equips us. It empowers us to be who we are and fashioned by God. And then when we're living that authentically before God, we're not trying to hide who we really are. But this is it. And he accepts me. This is where I'm at. Now, that place, now I can begin the journey of living authentic community within the church with other people. But first, I gotta be real here, right? How do we do it with other people, though? Write this down. Connecting authentically invites me to this. And this is what the characteristics are of what it means to be the church, not just go to church. Number one is acknowledge that everyone is gifted and flawed. Everyone is gifted and everyone is flawed. We know that about ourselves. Do we recognize that and give margin for that as we deal with other people? To not, as they say, you know, judge others by their actions and ourselves by our intentions. Or to have this grace for ourselves because, man, we're trying or we're a work in progress, but we don't tolerate somebody else's knuckleheaded behavior or stuff. We're all gifted, every one of us, imago Dei, image bearers of God, full of giftings and full of warts came to my mind. Does that work? full of warts, full of stuff that's not so pretty in our lives. See, I see that Jesus modeled this for us so amazingly throughout Scripture, throughout his life, how he handled people, what he did with people. That he didn't just call people to a plateau and say, when you get it good enough, you know, come up here and you're going to know me better. One of my favorite characters in the Scriptures is Peter. Because he was brash. He just was out there. He lived wide open. And he made a lot of mistakes, too. Peter was the one who told Jesus, right before his betrayal, he said, look, if everybody else leaves you, I'm your man. I will never leave you, Jesus. You mean that much to me. And I believe that he thought that about himself. He thought that he was that loyal. But just not too much later, we see that he abandoned Jesus at Jesus' greatest point of need when he was betrayed in the garden. And Peter, like the others, ran away. And then he's in the courtyard. If you know the story, he's in the courtyard where Jesus is, and he's by a fire. And they say, hey, we know you. You're with him. You're one of Jesus' followers. And you know what Peter did? He not only denied knowing him, the scripture says he cursed him. Just to prove that he didn't know him and to separate himself from Jesus, the one he just not too many hours earlier said, I'll never leave you. He cursed Jesus. He denied him 3 times, and then you know he went away. And it doesn't say, but I'm just another fellow human being. He felt horrible. He had to have. And so he goes away, and the next time we see Jesus and Peter, it's on a beach, and Jesus has got a meal cooking with a fire, and Peter comes to him, and Jesus says this. He says, do you love me? And it wasn't like, I mean, he knew what Peter did. He was there in the courtyard. He saw, and he wasn't trying to shame him like, oh, really? Really? He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter didn't know quite how to respond. What he responded is, you know all things, but I would really love the time to break down this whole dialogue that they had, but Jesus was saying, do you agape me? And it's a Greek word for love. There's a few different Greek words for love, but agape means, do you unconditionally love me? Peter, do you agape me? And Peter, over the course of this dialogue, said, Lord, you know all things. You know I phileo you, which is a term for love where we get Philadelphia. It's like a brotherly love, it's a fondness, but not agape. And Peter is like, enough posing, enough pretending. I'm sorry. I phileo you. This is where I'm at. I phileo you. And Jesus said, it wasn't like he surprised God there. It wasn't like he said, what? He knew that's where Peter was at. And what he needed Peter to know is, I accept you right where you're at. You don't have to be authentic. I accept you right where you're at. Now, feed my sheep. He restored Peter, and then he commissioned him because he helped him accept him right where he was at. He, both gifted and flawed, every one of us. We live that way, and when we learn to live that way personally and with God, it's a beautiful, liberating thing because we're not trying to pretend anything. We're trying to do better, but not in order to get loved, but because we are loved. And that safety just makes us be able to be free and to live and to be honest. And when we do that with ourselves and with other people, now the next one is we can embrace the journey with others. Now we can embrace it because we don't have some unrealistic demand on somebody to be a certain way and then we'll accept them. We can embrace the journey with others. And the truth is, some people are just simply unfamiliar with connection. They're just unfamiliar living a life on that kind of a plane with connection. And there's different reasons for that. Some folks have had really bad experiences in the past. Anybody here not been hurt in a relationship? Yeah, no hands. Everybody, we don't get out of this unscathed. So people get hurt in the past and maybe they've built up walls, you know, to protect themselves. And so it's hard for them to connect at a deep level. There's a number of reasons. You could have been, I mean, we have different cultures, how somebody was raised. There are some cultures that they put a high regard for connection and family and closeness. But there's other cultures that put a high regard and emphasis on work ethic and duty. And maybe they just didn't know that in the home, of that kind of connectedness. But here's the thing. You were created for authentic connection with other people. And that is primarily what the church is to be, a place that fosters that and models that. And when we don't have that and we isolate and just do our own thing, you know, I was talking to somebody recently who told me that. And he said, no, you know, my faith is always, it's just kind of a personal thing. Well, I get that. Each one work out his own salvation. I get that. But we are also a body. And when we don't have that exchange with other people in authentic community, we isolate. And then all of a sudden, we find ourselves just doing church instead of being the church. I'm just not interested in that. I just, like, there's other things to do. Just to do church. But to be the body of Christ, to be church, and to live with people in the context of community and do that, man, that's empowering. And if we don't, we miss out. You can still grow, you can still whatever, go to heaven, whatever, but we miss out on a couple of very primary things. One of them is this: we miss out on what others bring into our lives. We miss out on what other people bring out in our lives. How many of you remember the timeless play, The Man of La Mancha? Good, two of you. The protagonist in this play is a guy named Don Alonso. It's a phenomenal play. You should really. What's the matter with you? You live in L.A. And this character, he is seeking for knighthood. He wants to become a knight. He wants to live with chivalry and gallantry and nobility. And so. But this is a day that's long past knights and all of that. And so people look at him like he's weird, that he's, you know, got a few loose. But nevertheless, he's on his pursuit for this. And in this pursuit of nobility, he comes across a prostitute. But he sees her as the beautiful lady. And he's spending himself, again, in gallantry and all of this in order to win her. And he goes on, and she's rejecting it at first, or for a while. Because she thinks he's mocking her. She doesn't like who she is or what she does. And so she feels like it's a mockery. But over time, what happens is that the vision that he has for her replaces what she had for her and what she sees. Until the closing scene, and it's on the deathbed. And she says this, thanks him for seeing in her what she could not see in herself. It's amazing how that will transform somebody. But you see in them, even though they don't see it in themselves, which is why we need authentic connection with each other. I had a good friend. I've had a lot of people who have blessed me in my life so much. I have a really good friend, Bob Fischetti. We've been buddies for like 30 years. Right when I started out in the ministry, he's a mentor to me. He's about 10 years older and a good friend. And he used to always say, every time he saw me, he'd say, oh, Mark, faithful man, a godly man. And I like, oh, if only you knew, right? But he'd always say that to me. I mean, over the years. And one time, he come in, faithful man, godly man. I said, Bob, why do you always say that to me? Because I am anything other than that. He goes, oh, no. You are a faithful, godly man. You just haven't caught up to it in your mind yet, but that's who you are. He'd always speak that over my life. It was calling something out of me. Whereas today, that's why I am like a perfect man. It's amazing. You could tell what service my wife is not in. When we don't do that, it causes us to not get those things that we need. That's what Jesus was doing to Peter. He said, Peter, you're a rock. Really? Did you see what he did? How he dropped the ball? How he forsook you? Peter, you're a rock. Jesus saw something and was calling it out in him. That's what we do in authentic community. When we're not connected, we don't get it. That's what Bob did in me. That's what hopefully our teachers and our coaches and our parents are doing with our kids. I know as a fact that's what many of you do with many of you. I watch you do that. Is see the best, call out the best, encourage that. We want that, and we miss out on getting that when we're not connected in authentic community, which is called the church. And here's the other thing we miss out, is that on the opportunity to do that for others, to bless others, to bring their success out in other people's lives. Why? Because we're disconnected. We're going to church, and we're not being the church. There was a a mission back in the early 70s from NASA, and they wanted to go into deeper space travel. And so how do they do it? They, you know, can't bring up extra tanks of gasoline, you know, into space. And so how do we do it? Because they were limited on fuel, and they brilliant minds got together. And what they did is they harnessed the laws of physics with the orbit of planets. And so their idea was to get a spacecraft, a space, what do you call it? Spaceship, into the orbit of another planet, and then theoretically that would catapult them on and speed it up. So they tried it in 1973 for the first time, and they sent the spaceship out. It was going to have a rendezvous with Jupiter, the largest planet in our solar system. And as it was approaching Jupiter, it was going an incredible speed, 9.2 kilometers per second. I can't even fathom that kind of a speed, right? 9.2 kilometers per second it's going there. And then it hits the orbit of Jupiter. And the gravitational force that surrounds Jupiter pulls it and slingshots it out. And it slingshots it out and sends it out into deep space at 22.4 kilometers per second. Just from being in the orbit of that planet, utilizing that. And I thought about that. I think that's how we should be. That when people come into your orbit, they come around you, are they slingshotted into success or are they, you know? What happens? Because I want my orbit to be something to where when people are in there, there's something about that that helps bring them into success. And in my opinion, that's really when life gets so interesting, is when we make even other people's success even more priority than our own, that we're after, how do I help you achieve? How do we get you there, going? And when we live on that plane, man, that's when we start, in my opinion, that's when we start experiencing life at its fullest. And that's what God has called the body of Christ to be. We don't do it perfectly. Are you kidding me? But that's what he's called us to be, as an authentic community of seeing how do we help each other. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some, but stay together, encouraging one another, lifting one another up, being there, helping marriages succeed and helping parents succeed and helping people succeed. And you can't do it for them, but what we can do is say, when you're in my orbit, we're going to go. We're going to go. At least that's my goal. I may mess that up quite a bit, but that's my goal. That's the plane I want to live on. Here's number three. With authentic community, here's what happens. We go beyond where I am. Go beyond where I am. I mean, God loves you just as you are. You know that. We settled on it. He loves us just as you are. But he also loves us too much to leave us just right there. He wants us to experience another whole quality of life. We're all in the process. Connecting authentically in community invites us to go beyond where we are at right now. I today am a better husband, a better person, a better man because of others. Unequivocally, that's true in my life. Because of others. That we need others to bring that, help us get to where we want to be. I love those kind of relationships. It's one of the greatest benefits of being connected to a church family. Connected to a church family. Because you've got others on the journey with you. Anybody here? Anybody else's faith ever get tested? Our faith gets tested. Anyone struggling with destructive patterns or behaviors in your life? This is why we have community. We're not called to just try to do it alone, disconnected. Well, I got this. I got this. Okay. How's that working? Let's do it together. And not just as thinking, boy, I need people to be that for me in my life. There's a proverb that says, he who wants friends must first be friendly. It's like, sow it into others. Be that positive orbit in somebody else's life. You'll see that you get that. It's reciprocal. It comes back to you. And that's why I promote things like growth groups and stuff like that around here. They give people an opportunity to connect. So yesterday, my son flew in. He serves in the Coast Guard on the East Coast. So he got a couple weeks of leave, and he flew in. We're driving to the airport to pick him up, and I'm on a wonderful drive on Lincoln Boulevard. Who doesn't want to go to Lincoln Boulevard at any time of the day? and drive. I try to get on it as soon as possible so I could have as long as possible on Lincoln. So it was one of those days, and there I am, and I'm stuck at a mile-long red light, and I look over as down by the playa area. I look over, and there's these two men playing basketball, which I thought looked a lot funner than what I was doing at the moment. And they were playing basketball, and I'm a people starer. It gets me in trouble a lot, so I do. And I'm there in traffic. I'm just watching them. I'm checking out to see if they have any game at all. And looking at them, and then I'm thinking, I don't know why I had the thought, but I did. I thought, that's cool. Just two dudes, buddies, going out and hanging out and shooting some basketball on a Saturday morning. That's fun. Good for them. And so I get back and I drive off. A couple hours later, I'm having lunch with a man in this church. We're having lunch together. This is yesterday. And we're talking, and then I was asking about his day. He goes, oh, yeah, me and Sonny, was his name, the other guy, we were playing basketball this morning. I'm like, really? I saw two dudes playing. And it was them. It was the same place at the same time. They were the guys playing basketball. I'm like, God's always got eyes on you, so just so you know. No, but it was so fun. In the backstory of that is, a year ago, they didn't even know each other. But they got in a growth group. And they get together. I went and visited that growth group a few weeks ago. Some young couples, and they do that. And now they're buds, and they're sharing life, and they're encouraging one another. And I was like, it was just encouraged my heart, because I'm like, see, it works. That's how it's meant to happen. And that's when I love that you come in and we gather together and worship. And that's an important part of what we do. But truly, circles are better than rows. Because there we connect and there we do life together and we encourage one another. We hold each other accountable and to Christ's likeness, and we build each other up. And that's what he's called us to be. We go beyond where we are. We get to where we want to be. If I could sum up the whole message in closing with one verse, it would be this. Let's read it out loud. Ready? Romans 12, verse 9. Here we go. Love others well, and don't hide behind a mask. Love authentically. Love others well. That's a good motto, right? Love others well. Don't hide behind a mask. If you got stuff going on, find somebody that you can share it with. Get it out. Be open. Be real. Let's move forward together. When a marriage, sometimes they'll come into my office, and you could tell him or her just nervous because they got to see me on Sundays, and oh my gosh, they're going to share with me that they have some problems. And I'm like, I worry about the ones who act like they don't have problems. Let's just start there, you know? We want to love each other well. We're going to do it imperfectly, both as a corporate church, as who we are at Venice Church, as an Eastlake network of churches. We're going to do it imperfectly, and we're going to do it imperfectly alone, by ourselves too, individually. We're going to mess up, but we still want that to be our goal. So I don't know what your next right step is in this. Think about it. Pray about it. How to experience authentic community and connection as the church. But how about this? Collectively as Venice Church, we make that our mission. We make that our mission. And again, we're going to mess up, but we make that our mission. That we don't want to be a church that just talks about love. Talks about the love of God or talks about how we should. But one that functions in that and moves in that as a church. And remember, as a church, that doesn't mean we're looking at the pastoral staff or the organization saying, yeah, you guys really need to love. No, who's the church? If you're a follower of Christ, you're the church. And so let's be the church that has authentic connection. And I do believe we live in a day and age where people are dying for that. They want to be known, and they want to know and do it. Folks are just afraid of the ramifications of that. So let's be that safe place where people can. And I think we won't be able to stop people from coming and getting into community because hearts are longing for that. Should be the safest place on earth. So would you pray with me this morning right now? Say, Lord, help us as a corporate, as a body, but also help me individually bring that. God, we're grateful for you. Thank you for modeling this in your son, Jesus, how he handled people Not just what he taught, but how he lived, how he poured out to see others succeed. Lord, I confess I'm selfish to the core. And I know a lot of people can identify with me. Help me, help us individually with you and as a body to see others and to invest and have that as a pulse, a mission in our hearts to see people liberated and succeeded in life. And marriages, and families, all of it, Lord. And we'll do one thing at the end of all of it. All that we'll give you all the glory. We're so grateful. Thank you. In Jesus' name.